You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. And I don't know if you were around for yesterday's discussion of containers around the world and how container ships and the transport of containers is really the lifeblood of the global economy. But it caused us to think about, what other economic indicators may relate to the goods that are being shipped on the seas around the world. I mean, luxury goods and consumer goods arrive by air. But since time immemorial, the raw materials of life on this planet are shipped by barge and container ship and huge ships that take care of everything from pork bellies to oil. And a key economic indicator of the quality and the frequency and the volume of shipping on the world's seas is called the Baltic Dry Index. And it's been around since 1744. And the chief executive of the Baltic Exchange, where the index is compiled in London, is Jeremy Pan, and he joins us from that city. Jeremy, thanks for being a part of the program.
Pleasure.
Now, the Baltic Dry Index, which is a very interesting economic indicator of the state of demand for raw materials of all kinds, is off its lows this morning. It's up 8 points, a rise of about 1.5%, I guess. What is the Baltic Dry Index measuring, and how important is its fluctuation?
Well, that fluctuation, to answer your second question first, is actually a very small fluctuation. I mean, you can take it that the index is still at near to historic lows. But what it measures is the cost of what we call dry bulk shipping. So it incorporates the costs of a range of vessel sizes. The very biggest ones are 170,000 tons, and they're used almost exclusively for shipping coal and iron ore around. They're called Capesize ships, and their health really reflects the health of the steel industry and, to a lesser extent, the electricity generation industry.
There are two components of the Baltic Dry Index, it seems to me, and maybe I have this wrong, so go ahead and correct me, but there's one part of it that relates to demand for commodities, which indicates sort of whether there's a building going on in the case of copper or the steel industry, as you mentioned, but there's also an element of the volume of shipping that relates to letters of credit that are available for shippers to actually insure their cargoes and finance their cargoes. And when that dries up, there's also a problem of shipping. Are the historic lows that we're seeing now due to the lack of credit or the lack of demand?
I think fundamentally it's the lack of demand. But over the last few weeks, let's say the last couple of months, there clearly have been some issues over establishing credit for cargoes. Receivers who would normally have had credit extended to them by the shippers, the dispatchers of the cargoes, are being asked now to provide letters of credit, etc., where perhaps they wouldn't have done in the past. And you're finding that banks are charging, in some cases, a slightly higher rate for a letter of credit, or they're more difficult to organize, etc. So there have been issues, anecdotally, regarding letters of credit and credit generally. But that shouldn't obscure the fact that what's driven down the index has been a sudden and dramatic reduction in world trade in raw materials. And that's, we talked about the big ships, it's coal and iron ore there, but it's also in the cases of the smaller ships, finished steels, fertilizers, other forms of ore, mm-hmm. So specialist metal ores, etc., and grain, of course.
Jeremy, when I first learned about this, and to be honest, it was through one of our listeners, actually, who mentioned it. But I think there's some great irony here that this very basic measurement says a lot about where the world economy is. And I was just wondering, when you're tracking how the exchange is doing, does it essentially foreshadow what's to come in the real or investment markets before it happens?
Well, I think there are certainly a number of economists who think that's true. But if you look at what happened this year, there was some kind of quite big distortions brought into the shipping market because of certain factors around the supply of iron ore to China. The price negotiations between the Chinese and the Australians, and then subsequently the Chinese and the Brazilians, changed the distribution of ships and the distribution of requirements for ships, which meant that there was a lot of demand in the summer at a time when perhaps things were actually already starting to slow down. But I think when you look at it today, the truth is, if you look at the Baltic Dry Index and you say to yourself, what does this tell me about the world economy? It's pretty depressing. And,
right.
and it is the right question to be asking, because it's saying, well, how much demand is there for steel? How much demand is there from the emerging markets for grains? You know, how much world trade is being conducted, or rather, how much has world trade slowed down over the last few months? And the answer is, you know,
quite.
The picture's not very attractive.
Jeremy, finally, before we go, just quickly, how do you assemble the index? Do you call up shippers? I mean, it's an interesting sort of data.
The index is taken from an average of rates for very, very specific routes, specific shipping trades, where we get the data from independent brokers who are working for commission. So they don't have any money in the market themselves. They operate working for commission, and they're experts in the routes they report to us on, and they're all members of the Baltic Exchange.
That's great. Jeremy Penn is chief executive of the Baltic Exchange. Thanks so much for joining us, Jeremy.
It's a pleasure.
He was on the line from London there.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.